following message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's word.
He's a good father, amen. He's good to us when we don't deserve it. Most of the time we don't deserve it. Well, this morning is a little different than what we normally do. Today is our celebration Sunday, where we get to look back and all that God has done for us in 2015. Sometimes in our own lives we get caught up in our difficult circumstances and our hard situations, and we wonder, where's God been? If you just take a little trek down history, you can look like that and realize he's been there with you. And sometimes we have to be reminded of God's goodness to get us through our tough spots in life. And as God has been good to us as a church, that's what we're doing today and next week. Today is Celebration Sunday and Vision Sunday Part 1. And next week we'll continue that Vision Sunday Part 2, where during 9 o'clock Bible study hour, we'll have a large group session back in the fellowship hall. Be casting a new vision for us that will carry us through 16 and really the course of our future. So really excited about what we're sharing next week, and going to preach on that element next week as well. So if you're a member, you need to be here. This is a major course change for us, a major focus for us, and I really want to make sure that you're here. But today, to begin with, we're going to talk about, first of all that God has done for us in 2015. So take your Bibles with me to turn to Psalm 105. Today's going to be a little different in regards to how I speak to you today. We're going to look at a couple of texts, but normally I take a text, you know, we kind of unpack it. You know, I just dig it out and show you all the jewels and the mines that are there for us and all the sweet diamonds. And today we're going to be looking at a couple of passages, but really want to brag on God today. We brag on God every week, actually, but today we're going to brag on him for all that he's done for us, because many of you have been here and have seen what the Lord has done through 2015, but some of you haven't got to see or hear all of those things. So it's really good for us to stop and give God thanks. You know, we have a month of prayer and fasting once a month throughout the whole year, the first Wednesday, and we ask God for things, we pray and we ask him to do things, and he's done it. So I think we need to make sure we stop and say thank you for what he's done. And so that's what today is about. Psalm 105, as you turn there, you will see that the psalmist is calling us to give thanks to him. It's always good to make sure you give thanks to the one who has blessed you and not take for granted for the things that he has given us. So I would pray that today this would even be a model for you, that you realize even in your own life that you not take for granted the blessings that God gives you, because the blessings are to turn our attention to him. Psalm 105, verse 1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones." Let me clarify that last verse there, offspring of Abraham. He's looking back to not just ethnicity of Jewish. He's talking about those who are people of faith. Us to give a credit back to the Lord who has saved us. And so just a few things about this passage of scripture, then I want to just brag upon all that God has done. There's a clear call to us to give thanks to the Lord in all that he has done and calling upon his name. And there in the end of verse 1, he says, make his deeds known. And so today is, I want you to know of the deeds that God has done. I want you to know for sure that what he has done for us in 2015 has been nothing short of miracles in his hand upon our church. And we want to give grace to him and praise to him. And those things should result in verse 2. Sing to him, sing praises to him of all his wondrous works. Listen, we have a reason to sing every week when we get in this room. Not just for what he's done for us as a church, but the fact, first and foremost, if we have been saved, period, then we know we have something to sing about. It doesn't matter if you've had difficulty in your life or tragedy in your life, you still have something to praise him for. Listen, even in the midst of difficulties, oftentimes your outlook can change if you'll just start praising the Lord. If you start looking at the things that He's done and forget all that difficult stuff, because that's where Satan wants you to bog down in. He wants you to look at your difficulties and your tragedies. He wants you to forget the wondrous deeds of God. So here today, what I'm doing is I want to remind you in a very simple way of the wondrous deeds that God has done. And then look at verse 3. What does He tell us to do? Glory in His holy name. Let me kind of put that to you in easy words. Revel in what God has done. This part of our mission statement is to delight in God. And as I've talked to you over the past few weeks about our week of prayer in the Word, when you get in the Word and you get in prayer, it's not so much about just accomplishing a task that you read your Bible or that you prayed. I've told many of you, just focus on enjoying God in those moments. Delight in Him. Glory in the Lord. He takes joy in the fact when we take joy in Him. So today we're going to glory in Him. We're just going to bask in His goodness for all that He has done. And then in verse 3 it says, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. So we want to rejoice in Him, but then notice what it says to us in verse 4. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. So think about this. It's not just thinking and giving thanks for what He's done. He then tells us, hey, keep seeking Me. Keep seeking Me for those blessings. Listen, there's more that God wants to do for us individually and as a church, more than we can imagine. So although there's been some awesome, amazing things that God has done for us in 2015, we don't stop and say, I guess we've arrived. We want to seek more of Him individually and as a church until He calls us home or until Jesus returns. We're never going to tap all of the goodness and the reserve that God has for us. There's always going to be supply. Now, I know some of you keep up with all the stuff that's going on the stock market, and I know some of you may be worried. I'm not worried at all. God's got it under control, and He's got everything in His hand. And you always hear this stuff about whether we're going to have enough oil, is it going to last? Let me just tell you something. In comparison to God, you don't have to worry about that, okay? God's always got something for you. Always. His mercies are new every morning. You don't have to live off past blessings. There's good to be reminding of that, but listen, don't live off the past glories. God's got some new glory He wants to give you today and next week and this week for you and your family and our church. So I want to brag on God for a little bit, all right? You ready to go down this road with me? Amen. So let's talk about, I want to celebrate what God has done in our small group ministry. If you're not a part of our small groups, I want to encourage you today, make it a point to say, hey, I'm going to get involved in one of those small groups. God has been growing our small groups, not just numerically and the size of people who are coming. God's been growing fellowship in our small groups. The closeness that's taking place, the accountability, the sweetness that's occurring there. God has really grown our small group ministry. This past year, we've run out of room several times. A lot of my classes are what I call nomads. We keep moving them. You know, they'll get settled in a class. Say, I got to move you again. You ran out. The co-ed class, I don't know how many spots y'all been. Y'all have gone all over the place. I mean, y'all the moving nomads. But this year, you know, we had rooms in the back. And then each week, my pattern normally is to walk down a hallway and just kind of pray for the teachers as I'm walking down the hallway. And I'd keep looking. I'm like, now we got a problem. I don't have any more room for that one. What am I going to do, Lord? I'm like, we don't have any more walls to knock out, Lord. What are we going to do? I mean, literally, I'm saying, God, what's next? And so, you know, couple of things that we did this year is we put up another wall in the annex building so that we could make room. So instead of one large class, we shifted and moved a children's class out there. So the men are out there and the children, because the Hannah class, man, they're busting at the seams. And they had like 20-something people in there. They had two little tables, and they'd have like this circle around the table. And then there was like people around the circle. You know, it's like concentric circles. All right, they ain't got no more circle room. We got to do something, you know. And Becky was coming to us like, when are we going to move, Pastor? What you going to do? We're running out of room. I'm like, I know. I don't know what to do yet. We're trying to figure it out. And so we thankfully added that room and got those ladies in there and moved the co-ed class in here in the sanctuary. So during 9 o'clock, when you're in your rooms, they're in here. And then we had another problem. We started having a baby explosion. I'm like, man, what are we going to do now? So we don't have any more room. We had like, some Sundays we had like 10 to 15 toddlers in the room. And, you know, it's like, golly Moses, we're going to trip all over these kids. And so what that meant was is we had to take out a space in our fellowship hall and add another wall to make room for the babies. And we finished that a couple of months ago. And then, you know, God just has blessed our small group ministry. It's just been so good. And if you're not a part of one, you're missing out. You're missing what God is doing. Relationships get built there. You get taught the Word of God there. So let me just encourage you with what God is doing there. Our attendance, you know, and I looked at like 2014 to 2015. 2014, we were averaging about 80 to 90 people in our small groups. And now, at the end of 2015, we've been averaging almost 110 in our small group ministry every Sunday. So God's good in that week. Amen. We were able also this year to teach a new believers class, which actually just finished this past week. This past year, we also were able to offer two different membership classes that we were able to remember people who were saying, hey, we'll be a part of this church. And so it's been a joy. So he's been good to us in our small group ministry. Let me brag on God and what he's been doing in our worship services. If you've been here just for a period of time, God's been blessing us just with his presence and his spirit and his anointing. And our worship services have been good. Actually, next month is an anniversary date for Andrew. God blessed us with Andrew a year ago this coming February. Aren't you thankful for God sending us Andrew? Amen. Amen. We're thankful for Andrew and Aunt Amanda and his two sweet girls, Adeline and Annabelle, and for them being a part of our church family. He just does a great job of leading us in worship and choosing songs that are just saturated with great theology and just bring us into the throne room. And so, again, I looked at our attendance. You know, back in 2014, we were averaging maybe 100, sometimes a little under, sometimes over. By the end of 2015, we're averaging between 120 to 140 in this room on Sunday mornings. And then some Sundays we got 150, sometimes we have 160, and everybody's like this, you know, sitting beside each other. And a lot of you keep coming and says, when are we going to build? I'm like, I don't know. We want to. And so we're just thankful for what the Lord has done. And some of you have graciously, I've actually approached some of you and I said, hey, can you stop sitting in the back? Can you sit up front so we can make more room? And because of that, because some of you don't realize that when I'm preaching, all your eyes are looking this way. And there's actually been a couple of Sundays at the beginning of 2015 when we were full and someone would come in, they would leave. Had no place to go. And we said, we got to change that. And so that's when I actually asked some of you to try to make some room up front. And so Nagaris family was one of those guys. I said, hey, y'all got a lot of family. I need you to move, okay? Make some room. And so they moved up front to make more room. And so we have to remember, you know, we're here to worship God, but we also have to realize it's not always just about us, too. You know, we got to do what it takes to reach people, and I appreciate your flexibility in regards to doing that. But the Lord has just blessed us in our worship services. I'm so thankful to see we as a church growing in our understanding of worship, to see you have a genuine expression of worship. You don't have to raise your hands to have a genuine expression of worship. You can worship with your eyes closed. You can worship just being still. You can worship sitting down. But it's been good to see you grow in your sincerity in the worship of the Lord. I just want to give God thanks for growing your heart. And that's just been so good. You know, that's the truth of Ephesians when it says that we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another. When we're genuinely worshiping the Lord, you should be able to leave after you've worshiped together, having been encouraged. Because there's some days, let's just be honest, we come in here and we feel crummy. Anybody felt crummy coming to church before? And then some days we come in church and we've got it all together. And those days that we're crummy, hopefully by God's grace, that after you've been in the house of the Lord, you felt encouraged. You felt built up. And there's been times in some songs I just have to sit and listen. You know, just that God just speaks to my heart and hear the people of God worshiping him for how good he has been. Well, this past year also, we had over 200 people in our Easter service. Give God thanks for that. And then also, we've been able to add a simulcast for our worship ministry. Even right now, as I'm preaching, there are people who are watching by simulcast, people who are sick and can't be here. And that's been a blessing for us to be able to add that. Now, let me say this. That's not a replacement. So if you're watching and this is your replacement, shame on you. You need to be here, okay? If you're sick, we're praying for you. So it's there for you. If for some reason something happens, you've got a sick child or you can't be here, don't just sit at home and just watch shows. Turn the Word on. Because you get to watch the worship and the words come up on the screen so you can sing and you can be a part of it. Actually, David was traveling last week. So he was, I hope you weren't watching the service while you were driving. You're trying not to, David? Honest confession, okay? Don't get near David's truck on Sunday mornings then, all right? So it's there to bless you. So the Lord's allowing us to grow in those particular ministries areas. And in this past year, we're able to also do our first Christmas Eve worship service. And man, that was an awesome night. It was a sweet night. And so, you know, we just said, hey, let's try it out this year. And the Lord just blessed it. We had a lot of people here. So we're just going to keep doing that. So I just encourage you just to make plans even now. Yeah, I know it's January, but say, I'm going to make that. Because it's just a time. It sets your heart aright to know what Christmas is about. Christmas is coming. We'll celebrate also God allowed us to start a new greeter ministry. That part of that was so that we could be intentional people coming. And I read a statistic this past year that really challenged me, and it said new people will decide upon a church in the first 10 minutes upon their, when they set foot upon your property. First 10 minutes. That means that's before I even get up to preach. That's what means is that's your interaction. So people will make a decision. That's a loving church, or either that church doesn't care about me. So that's why we said, hey, let's be intentional to make certain when people are coming in, that they're not coming in just trying to find seats. Let's welcome them. Let's greet them. Let's help them to know this is a place, because someone comes with new kids and babies. They're like, where's the nursery? We don't want them to figure it out. We want to help them. And so we've got 23 people that's been trained for that greeter ministry. I'm so thankful for them. They're so helpful. We meet together at 10:05 and we pray together. We pray for this service, and then they're serving you. But let me just say this to you. You don't have to be on the greeter team to greet people. We're all greeters. We're all part of welcoming people into the church family. Okay, let's also celebrate what God's done in our compassion ministry. For those of you who don't know, our compassion ministry celebrated a year anniversary, and both Donna and Becky got to share a testimony this past couple months ago in regards to what God has done. So I won't restate everything they've done, but there's a lot of people who serve in that compassion ministry. I mean, they give out food twice a month, and they're here on Wednesday morning, the day of the shipment, and they're unloading the truck, and they're bagging it. So when people come on Thursday, they're handing out that food. And I think Becky said we gave out over 80,000 pounds of food last year to people. That's a lot of food. And then Donna said that we, over 500 people that have come through and got clothing. Now, I want you to understand what that means. Those ministries are not an end in of themselves. They're means to an end. As people come and get a practical need met, those individuals are being prayed for. The gospel is being shared, and we're going to keep watering that seed. And my prayer this year is that we will begin to see a harvest for some of those seeds that have been planted. We'll see some of those people come to know Jesus Christ, and it'll be more than just coming to get food. Because my prayer is, Lord, help them to realize they need more than just food in their stomach and clothes in their back. They've got to open up their eyes. So all of you who are serving in compassion ministry, thank you for serving. Because I know there's a lot of you that I don't necessarily get to see all that you do. But those who are working, they work hard. Because I'm out there and I greet them. They're like, get out of the way, Pastor. I got to go in the trailer, you know. They're not ashamed to tell me that I'm in their way. So they got to do their job, you know. So that's okay. That's fine. But it's awesome to see you being the hands and feet in Jesus. You know what? How excited I am for us to be a church. Didn't just talk about being church, but doing the church. And so I'm really thankful for that. And then this past year also, God blessed our Operation Christmas Child Shoebox thing far and beyond. You know, we had a goal of 100 boxes, and we've never met that since I've been here. And this past year, we almost reached 200 boxes this past year. Quite awesome. How many of you got a notification from OCC about where your shoebox was going? All right, where was yours? Chad in the Philippines? Okay, same thing with you guys. Pretty cool. For those of you who do OCC, if you do it online, they'll actually send you an email of where your box goes. And so the only thing we've gotten reports so far is to Chad in the Philippines. Think about that. From a box from Lacombe, Louisiana, is going to Chad and the Philippines. We may not ever see that child here, but we pray that we'll see that child in eternity, though. That they will get that gift and realize. And we also want to give God thanks for our deacon ministry as well. We're finally able to get that started this past year, and some great men to be able to help serve in that ministry. And as we continue to solidify their roles, I'm going to make you known what they're going to be doing. And so I'm thankful for those guys. And why is it important? Why is ministry important? Let me show you. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. This weekend is actually a membership class weekend as well. More folks who want to be a part of our church. And it's just been a great weekend. It always is, studying the Word. It's hard to not have a good weekend when you're just studying the Word all weekend. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is a passage I've shared with you. Why is it important to have right leadership in place? Listen, I say this before, so goes the leadership, so goes the church. If you don't have godly leadership, the church is not going to be godly. It's important to have godly leaders in place, and when you do, God does something awesome through the church. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 1, Paul gives Timothy, a young pastor, qualifications for overseers or pastors. And then in verse 8, he gives qualifications for deacons. And after he does all that, he's saying, look, Timothy, these are the type of men that you need. And after he says that, this is what he promises will happen to the church. In verse 14 and verse 15, he says, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of truth. What does that mean? Paul is saying if you've got the right leadership in place, the church knows how to behave. Is it possible for a church not to behave properly? Some of you are saying that from experiences in the past. But it's possible the church can't behave properly. And so the leadership is key to be able to have godly pastors and godly deacons to lead the church forward. And then if you're healthy, he says you'll be a pillar and a buttress of truth. I love the imagery that gives. We know what pillars are. They stand up and they hold up kind of porches or whatever it may be. So he says we're pillars of truth. So if we've got godly leadership and the church is being healthy, that means the church is unashamed and they hold the truth up even in a culture that opposes godliness and opposes morality. We hold it up, but it also says you're a buttress of truth. A buttress of truth is a support anchor that braces to a wall and it holds out, if you would, a porch that sticks out or some other pavilion that sticks out above a building. So the imagery there is we're a pillar. We hold up the truth and then we hold out the truth to the world. That's what we're doing, church. And so we give God thanks for giving us godly leaders. Butch P. Sean, David Burns, Jared DeGlennon, and George Denton, godly men who are set aside to be helping us as a church. Also, God bless us this year to kick off Awana ministry. How many of y'all serving in Awana, raise your hand? Now, that's not everybody. I know that's not true. There's more than that serving in Awana. We started that back in September, John. Is that right? October? Okay, so I approached John. John has led Awana ministry before. Those of you who don't know, Awana is a children's ministry that we started on Wednesday nights. And so this past summer, we kind of take a break in July as a church and really just let people rest and get refreshed. And so I had been burdened as praying, God, what do you want to do with our children's ministry? And so I just began to go through our membership list, and God just kept drawing me to John and Gail because John and Gail had led Awana before. And we had some good children's ministry stuff. And I said, you know, I'm just going to see what God's will is in this. And so I sent a text to John, not knowing that someone, another church had actually asked him about coming and helping with their Awana ministry as well. And so I went and met with him like in August, I think it was. And I said, hey, can we get this started in September? And he's like, are you kidding me? So it didn't happen in September. So we got it real close. And so by God's grace, how many have we averaged now on Wednesday nights with our kids? About 40 kids on Wednesday nights. Our Wednesday night attendance, we're averaging well over 100 now between kids and youth and adults. And so if you haven't been here to see, those kids are excited on Wednesday nights. They're coming. They got their little vest on, their little shirts. And if their name gets called up, man, they're just all excited. This past Wednesday night, their names got called for the prize box. And I think we're going to have to, like, you know, come and put a wrestling match up here to try to get them away from the prize box. John's like, okay, just go. Don't shop. Get your gift and go. Go. But, you know, it's quite exciting to see kids memorizing and hiding God's word in their heart. And so I'm so thankful for that and seeing parents coming as well. Well, let's give thanks one more thing. Let's talk about our new property on 434. Not everybody of you have been here through this journey. But in 2008, let me back up from that. When I came in 2004, the building committee that was in place at that time had drawn up plans to build a worship building on the grass plot that's here just on the other side of our church. We were going down that road for a while, and we were real close to that, and then as I prayed over that, I really became very unsettled of taking that step. You know, I talked to the committee about that, and without telling the whole story, you know, we proposed a new idea, which was to buy land to relocate so we could have more land for growth in the future. There's not a whole lot of land around us, and I just knew that, yeah, if we put a pause on this, it was going to be a while before we got to build. And so we just cast that vision, let the church pray over it. And then I think the church began to realize there was something bigger than what God had in mind. So in 2008, we were able to buy 10 acres land on 434 for over $400,000, about $40,000 an acre. Now, they had 20 acres for sale. They wanted $825,000 for it. And I'm like, that's not happening. So we don't have that. So we felt that all that we could stomach at that time was 10 acres. We bought 6 acres outright, and we owner finance 4. We bought all that for a little over $400,000. Well, back in 2013, I was driving one day by the property, and the 10-acre sign was still up for sale. I felt prompted by the Lord that I should just call the owner. I called the owner and said, hey, what's going on with the property? And this was his answer. He said, look, man, my mom's getting old. She doesn't want it anymore. Just make us an offer. I said, oh, yeah. Go ahead, Lord. I'm glad I listened to your voice today. So, you know, so at that moment, I was very honest. I said, look, and I called his name. I said, I want you to be honest. We paid a little bit over appraisal value for the property. that first 10 acres. And I says, I already had somebody who donated a survey for me and an appraisal on the second 10 acres. And I know what it's worth. I'm just going to tell you right now, we're not going to pay you appraisal price for it. He said, okay. I said, all right, God's working. So long story short, you know, through negotiating back and forth, the first 10 was $400,000. The second 10 was $50,000. Is that not phenomenal? I mean, it's phenomenal. And there, by the way, there's two other acres that's for sale next to it that we have first right of refusal on, okay? Y'all going to say, what? Oh, yeah, what? So, hey, Lord can do it if he wants us to have it, okay? That would give us a road access on Barry Todd. If so, we can just pray, Lord, if he wants to have it, you give it to us, okay? So here's what I want you to realize. You know, but since 2018, I don't think many of you realize what all has happened. Last year, we were able to sell one of our other homes that the church owned. We have two, and we sold one. We sold that for a little over $160,000. And from that sale, we were able to pay off the debt on 434. So as of right now, as a church, we have no debt whatsoever. Amen. And from all of the land that we've purchased, hang on, it's not through yet. From all of the land purchases, architect fees, parish fees, inspections, we've spent $546,000 with no debt. That's God's provision. Well, after that, we had about $100,000 saved, and most of you have known the story of what's happened over the past 3 months with the Lord blessing us with a financial gift. You know, I remember that when we shared with you all the first time, you know, God had blessed us with these five different donations, kind of just incrementally. You know, with each one, we didn't deserve it at all. You know, we had the $100,000 that we had saved after having everything paid off. And it's just really a cool story. You know, Jane is our secretary. And so she's like, hey, Pastor, we got a donation in the mail. And it was $10,000. I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. You know, of course, my policy is I don't know what anyone gives. I don't want to know what anyone gives. And so she never tells me a name. I don't know what you give. So just know that's between you and the Lord. And so then, you know, a couple of weeks passed. She says, hey, we got another check in the mail. I'm like, really? She said, yeah, it's $25,000. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And then I was on my way to preach a funeral, and so she called me, and so Jane said, hey, I'm shaking. You know, she's got kind of borderline sugar issues, and so I thought, am I lying? No, okay, all right. So I'm thinking that she's back at the church and something's wrong, and I need to, like, call somebody. I said, are you okay? She's like, Pastor, we got another check in the mail. I'm like, wow, she says $100,000. My answer was, Jane Perkins, are you reading the zeros right? And so I could hear, she's like, well, hang on. I could hear her fumbling the envelope. She's like, no, it's $100,000. Now, I've got to be honest with you, okay? I'm going to the funeral. I'm about to have to help be compassionate and grieve to these people, you know? So deep down, I'm like, yeah. And so, you know, so when I came back and we finally shared that, you know, to the youth of church, you know, that, you know, I thought that was it, you know. And then a couple of weeks, or a month passed, and I was in the copy room, and she came to the door, and I turned around, and she's kind of just like this. She's like, Pastor, we got another check. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, okay, she's having a sugar attack again. And then she said, we got a check for $250,000. I was like, a lot of people said, do you jump up and dance? I'm like, no, it's just like a surreal moment. I was just overwhelmed by God's goodness. Why would God choose to do that? And we thought that was done, you know. And then, you know, 3 weeks ago when we got to announce to you that we had another check in the mail. And I was sick as a dog. Wasn't answering my phone. I'm laying in bed and Jane calls. And so I knew, being the secretary, I need to answer a phone call. And so I'm like, hello. She's like, I hate to bother you. She said, we got another check in the mail. Let me tell you something. My sickness went away in that moment. I sat up in the bed, and I'm like, yes. She's I'm trying to be as real as I can with you, okay? She said, we got a check for $350,000. I'm like, what? Now, I got to tell you this cool story, okay? So that was happening during our week of fasting and prayer. And one of the things that we were praying for specifically, God bless us financially so we can build this year. I've told you we need to pray specifically, not just pray vague. But I'll tell you this cool story. That morning at breakfast, you know, not coming to work, just being sick, I sat around the table. And that morning, I said to the kids, I said, hey, you know, this is our week of prayer. What would you like to pray for about our church? And one of the kids said, I'd like to see God bring more people to our church. And one of them said, I'd like to see God save some more people. And then Caroline said, I'd like to see the Lord give us more money. That happened at 8 o'clock, okay? So we prayed. I let them pray for their specific thing. The phone call came at like 9:30. So I walk in the room because, you know, they're homeschooling this year. And so I walk in and I said, I got some great news for you. I said, Caroline, you remember what you prayed for this morning? She said, money? I said, God blessed us with another check in the mail. Now, I know God had to orchestrate a bunch of events to make that happen, to simultaneously line up. But if it did it so that my children could understand the hand of God, I give him thanks for that. It was just a cool moment, you know. So all together, church, right now we have $846,456 for our new property. Amen. So we pray that we can get started this year. We are meeting tomorrow night as the committee. We're looking over the plans, hopefully to get things finalized, and then so that we can actually start getting some bidding done to know exactly how much it's going to cost us. So pray for God's will in that we can move forward. Listen, it's not about a building. It's about reaching people. The building is not the end. It is a means to an end. So when we pray that God reaches people, well, all those things are good. There's actually one more thing that's most important in all that God has done. And that's the number of people who've come to faith in Christ in 2015. In 2015, we had the privilege to see 9 people profess faith in Christ and be baptized. And we saw 25 people total who said, this is the place that I want to be serving and using my gifts. So God is worthy of blessing his name. So let's bless him for what he's done in 2015. Amen. He's a good father to us. And so it's good just to recount those things. But as Psalm 105 said, let's continually seek him. I believe 2016 is even going to be better than 2015. And believe that God is going to bring a harvest of people into the kingdom. So I want to look at, you know, where we're going now. I want to talk about the vision of where we're going as a church. Probably an unlikely passage of scripture that you may not have thought about that we could use. But why don't you turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24. This past week, as I was going to a doctor's appointment, and I'm just reading through the Bible, and this passage just jumped out at me in regards to what I wanted to share with you this morning. You know, it's dangerous as a church to simply just settle for all that he's done. It's dangerous just to say, man, God's blessed us, so now let's just kind of cruise. Listen, as a church, we never want to cruise. You never just want to exist. You give him thanks and you keep moving forward. And I want you to see the danger of what happens when you just get complacent. The danger of when you just kind of settle for what he's done and not believe that he has more for you. Because I've seen churches that have been healthy and God has blessed and it seemed like the favor of God was upon it and then them dwindled to nothing. We as a church don't want to do that. We as a church want to keep moving forward. And I want this to be a challenge for you, even as you look back at your own life and how God has blessed you. God wants more for each one of us in 2016. He wants to move us forward. So look at Psalm 24. We're going to look at verse 30. So notice what Solomon gives us words of wisdom to his son. And we're going to read this. Not only are you going to say, how in the world does this relate to the church? Well, just give me a moment to explain how. I passed by the field of a sluggard. It's Proverbs 24:30. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with needles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Now some of you may be saying, how in the world does that apply to the church? This is how it applies. We could sit back now and say, God's done. He's done everything. And everything that you work so hard for and pray for can easily be overtaken by the enemy. Just like this sluggard set back and the vineyard just got overtaken. Listen, it takes a lot of work to keep a vineyard up. And once it's healthy, the work doesn't stop. Then you have to keep calling and keep pulling the weeds out so that everything stays healthy. Church, that's what I'm saying. We do not need to become sluggards with the mission that God has given us. Now that He is blessing us, we need to keep on our knees and not say, He's done with us. We need to quit asking. No, we need to be quite the contrary and keep working hard to keep the ministries healthy, to keep the mission alive, and keep moving forward, because Satan wants us to sit back, because Satan wants the vines to come in. Satan wants the walls of the church to crumble, but I'm here to say Jesus wants to build this church. He wants it to thrive. And so let's not be sluggards. Let's all do our part to come together for the sake of the glory and the sake of the mission of the church. So turn to Psalm 96. Psalm 96 is important for us to realize in regards to how we are as a church. I want to read this and then I want us to say our mission statement together. As a church, God wants us to move forward. He wants you to move forward. I shared with you back in August our mission statement. And I like to do this about twice a year to remind us of who we are. Because it's easy to forget purpose. It's easy to forget mission. And so you alone as well, you have to be reminded, hey, what am I here for? I'm not here just to pay bills. I'm not here just to change diapers. I'm not here just to go to work. I am here for the glory of Christ. And all those things that we do are for His sake and for His good. And as a church, it's just a reminder to say, hey, this is who we are as a church. God didn't call us just to get together and have warm fuzzies. God called us together to be on mission for Him, to do something for the sake of the kingdom. And I asked you in August, and I'm going to ask you this again. Our mission statement is composed of three main D's: delighting in God, declaring Jesus, and discipling all people. We're going to read that in just a moment. And I asked you in August, and I'm going to ask you again. What do you need to do to increase your own delight? What do you need to do to improve your own declaration? And what do you need to do to improve your discipling of all people? Folks, God wants us moving forward. He's going to use people to reach people with the gospel. He's going to use churches. It's His means. I want to be one of those churches. I want to be one of those places that He has His hands on. And He says, that's a group of people I can use for the kingdom of God. Those are people who are hungry for my name. Those are people who are bold for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to be about. I am not about sitting still. I want to go, because the Bible tells us in Matthew 16, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against me. You know what that means? We're going to win. And so we keep marching forward. Even though Satan opposes us and comes against us, we say by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's in me individually and as a church, I move forward for the sake of Jesus Christ. And Psalm 96 reminds us of this. Do we have our mission statement? Can you flip to that, Candy? I want us to read our mission statement together. Let's read it. First Baptist Church exists to glorify God by delighting in God and by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. That's who we are as a church. We're about delighting in Him, declaring and discipling. And let me say this to you. I said this to our membership class. If you grow in delighting in God, declaring Jesus and discipling people becomes natural for you. If you're not delighting in God, declaring Jesus and discipling people is mechanical for you. And so if we revel in God, then there's a desire for you to tell family. There's a desire for you to tell coworkers. There's a desire for you to talk to neighbors. There's a desire for you to interact with anybody that you come in contact with because you want them to enjoy God. What we're about to read in Psalm 96 reminds us, listen, John Piper said this, missions exist because worship doesn't exist. I'm going to add to that. The gospel and declaration, evangelism, and missions exist because people do worship something. They're worshiping the wrong thing. Psalm 96 lets us know that we want people to know about the God that we worship. You say, some people say they're atheists. Let me tell you something. They're worshiping atheism. You worship an ideology, or you worship a worldview, or you worship some kind of platitude, but we all worship something. We may worship self. We may worship money. We may worship fame. We may worship a statue, whatever it may be. But what I'm saying is I want to declare the greatness of God because I want people to delight in the God that fills me, changes me, and gives me joy, gives me hope, gives me purpose. And that's what I want our church to be about. I want us to be like a bullhorn, a beacon of hope, a bright light shining in darkness to people who have been deceived and who are trapped in the darkness of the world. And we're saying, we want to rescue you. Come see the God who can give you life and hope. You have that, church, and that's what we're about. Listen to Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. What's His desire? He wants it to be for everyone to sing this song. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. So how long and how often do you need to be telling it? From day to day. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations. His marvelous works among all the peoples. Listen, He's saying, there is something about God. If you say, I don't know what to say, let me tell you something. There's a lot of evangelism programs that you can memorize, but I'm saying this. Absent of the evangelism programs and steps, you don't have to have a program. You just need to know God. You grow in your relationship with Jesus, and out comes the good things of your life. You're simply declaring the goodness of God. Tell them how He's changed your life. Tell Him how He's given you hope. Tell people how He's helping you through difficult times. Point to the glory of God. And verse 4 tells us why. You see the first word that's there? What is it? For. So that means all that He said in verse 1 through 3 of declare His glory among the nations, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Here's what He's saying, church. Go tell the world about the greatness of God because their God doesn't have it. Your God does. So He's saying, our God's made the heavens. Our God is full of splendor. Our God is full of glory. So when you're going to someone and they're bowing down to some kind of ideology or false God, what you're saying is, our God can change you. So we are declaring it because we have a great God. If you say, well, Pastor, I don't really experience that, then get with Him. He will change you. He will fill you. Connected to last week. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. If you want to be changed, get your nose in this book and get on your knees and get before God and let the power of the Holy Spirit change your life. He will begin to burn away the dross in your life and He will begin to sanctify you. He will begin to fill you. He will begin to change you and you will not be the same person. You'll begin to talk about God with people who are strangers. Because of verse 4, because you will say, my God is good. You understand, there's a reason the declaration. The declaration is not just simply raw obedience. And so as a church, I want you to understand, that's who we are. So on Sunday mornings, we're picking songs and we're singing songs because we want to delight in God. And when I sit down to teach the Word or stand there to preach the Word to you, I want to give you meat of the Word so that you can walk away and say, man, God is good. Man, God is awesome. He said this to me today. He wants me to do this. He wants me to change this. I want to make much of God every time I teach the Word to you. And today I want to show you that He is good. And if you're not a follower of Christ today, I want you to know that He is worthy of following. And the things that you're following are not satisfying to you, and you know it. And so I'm saying to you, if you've not yet yielded to the God of the heavens who is full of splendor and majesty, bow to Him today. Let Him fill you. Let Him change your life unlike you have ever experienced before. If you're here today and you've been a part of church for years and you've just been doing church, you've not had a relationship with God, He wants to give it to you. There are plenty of people in our church who are part of churches for a long time and realize they didn't have a relationship with God and they bowed their knee and said, God save me, and now their life is different. I'm thankful as I sit across and look across this room with a number of people that God has changed your lives, saved you, and made you realize that you weren't saved when you've been here a long time and He's rescued you. God is worthy of our worship. And He's worthy of our declaration to the world. And this year, some of the ways that we're going to do that. This year, we're going to get the privilege to do the Easter outreach in the park again this year. As you know, last year we didn't get to have that because of some miscommunication. That is an opportunity put in our lap. About 500 people plus come to the park. And so this year, it's on the books. So last year, we didn't get to do it, but the year before, it was a holistic approach. And we're going to do the same thing. The men's class grilled out. One of our classes took tickets. Another class bagged the food. Another class put out eggs. I think we put out 5,000 eggs or so for the Easter egg hunt. Yeah, it was a lot of work. And we stuffed all those eggs with a bunch of candy. So we're going to pretty soon start getting you to bring in candy. And the purpose, again, is not just to have an Easter egg hunt. The purpose is a means to an end to be able to give hope to people and share the gospel. It's an opportunity God has given us. We're going to be strategic this year, and we're going to challenge you with the Easter Outreach Challenge. We're going to challenge you every year. You can start now. Who is it that you know that's not involved in church, that's not a believer, or who have been hurt by a church that you could invite to come to an Easter service? I would challenge you even now, begin to pray for that person with intentionality to invite that person to Easter. Listen, you don't have to wait till Easter, by the way. But Easter statistically is the highest chance for someone who's not in church to come to church. So let's take advantage of that. And let's be intentional and pray and fast and ask God to do something phenomenal on that day. Let's begin asking Him now that we'll see people saved on that Easter Sunday when they hear the gospel. So we want to challenge you. We're going to do a bulk mailing again that's going to go out all across this area. Last year we mailed it out to 7,000 homes just to be able to get the word out that we're having it. So let me challenge you, church, let's pray for God to do. If you don't expect Him to do something, why would He want to do something? Do you want Him to do something? Let's pray. Let's pray that we have more than 500 people at that Easter park. And let's pray that most of those people will come. You say, we won't have enough chairs. We're going to be outside. And if you have to sit on the grass so a visitor can sit in the chair, sit on the grass. Just go ahead and bring a lawn chair and just be prepared that you may have to do that, okay? You say, I don't think it's going to happen. Pray. Believe. It can, okay? Let's be expectant of Him. Remember, we learned about this a couple of weeks ago. Let's ask, let's seek, and let's knock and expect Him to do good things. Folks, I believe that He can blow and go through this church in a mighty way. I'm praying that we'll be in multiple services before we even get that building finished over there in 434. And I'm praying that when we get over there, we have to start with two or three services over there. You say, you're out of your mind. No, God's can they do whatever He wants to do. I believe He's more than able to do more than we can even ask or think. That's Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21. He wants to do it. You say, you're about numbers. I'm about souls. Do I want people to come? You better believe I do, because I want to see souls rescued from the dominion of darkness. I want to see people redeemed this year. I want to see them rescued. I want to see people who's raising their hands, who used to bow down to things that didn't give life, and they've realized that they've been rescued. That's what I want to see. And I believe He can do it. Well, this year we're going to do a new thing. We're going to do a marriage conference in April 29th and 30th. A dear friend of mine, Dr. Tate Cockrell, is coming down to do a marriage conference for us. So families, marriages, husband and wife, go ahead and mark that down. You say, I'm good. Would you like me to ask your wife? I see it happening already, okay? Something we're going to make known to our community because, listen, the family is the foundation. And so we want to see you. This is part of our mission. How does this fit? Well, think about it. Easter Outreach and Easter Festival is part of our declaration. Marriage Conference is part of our discipling and helping people to grow and to be rich. And it can be a part of our declaration because we want to make it known to the community to come. Because we want people to know that without Jesus, your marriage is going to be hard. You need Jesus to make our marriages strong. Well, some of the things that we've normally do, VBS, back to school outreach, children's camp, youth camp, those things are happening again this year as well. We want to make this, folks, we're going to be intentional as a church. You, if you committed to be a part of this church, you didn't commit to sit back. You committed to serve. And you committed to be a part of this. So what I want to do very quickly is, when everyone has gone through a membership class, they have what's called a membership covenant, things that we agree to do, that we say, this is what I want to do as a church. So I want us to just read through that real quickly, that you understand as a reminder, hey, this is what we agreed to do as a part of our church. When you say, hey, this is where I am. So some of you may say, hey, what does it mean to be a member of a church? You can be a part of a church and not be a member, but a member means you're saying, hey, this is a place I want to plant myself and my family because I want to be a part of the mission that's happening. I want to be a part of a place that God is reaching lost people. I want to be this to be the place where I use the gifts that God has given me so that He can utilize my gifts to bless other people. Because I'm going to say this to you. Every person who is a believer who's sitting in this room this morning, you are important to the kingdom of God. Regardless of what the enemy has lied to you, I want to tell you today, if you are saved, you've been given at least one spiritual gift, and He didn't give you that gift to hide in your heart. He gave you that gift to be used for the kingdom of God through a local church. Listen, the church is Jesus' idea, and He wants to use you. So if you're just sitting on your hands and you're just cruising it, I'm telling you, there's more to life. And I want you to live in the vibrancy and the giftedness that God has given you. You have life as you give and use the gift that God has given you. So what do we commit to when we say, this is where I want to be? Number one, we worship God with a church family. Why don't you read it with me? I will seek to worship God with my church family each Lord's day unless I'm greatly prohibited. What you're saying there is, hey, I commit to be here and not to sit in my pajamas and drink coffee at home and watch it simulcast. I'm going to be here as much as I can. And we understand that some of you have jobs that you're in and out. But when you say, I'm going to be here, it's not just so you can be seen. Remember this. People need you. Because sometimes you come and you're lifted up. And there's other days that some people are crummy. And so you're coming, as Hebrews 10 says, so we can encourage each other. And we're here to worship the Lord together. The next thing that we commit to do as a church is this. Share the gospel and make disciples. Read with me. I commit myself to this church family and agree to aid in fulfilling its mission to both live and proclaim the gospel to Lacombe, the North Shore, North America, and all nations by declaring Jesus and discipling all people. What we're saying is, hey, let's do this together. You need to do that individually, but we're doing it together. Let's go to the next one. We also commit to do this, to love the church family. Read with me. I commit to love my church family by doing life together, by helping and supporting one another spiritually, emotionally, and financially when necessary. I just want to say this to you. Back in 2009, God just did a great work in my life. As I was pastoring this church, I just felt like that we had to take another step. And God led me through a series called Life Together. Because that challenged me, and I wanted to challenge us as a church, is that we needed to do more than just do church. We need to be the church. And so we set some things in motion to be able to help, that we realize we have to do life together. Superficiality in the hallways means nothing. If you say, how you doing? I'm good. And then you walk past that person when they're dying inside, crying for help, that's not church. And so I'm thankful that through time and in some of our small groups, relationships are growing. And I would say this to you, in the 11 years that I've been here, I would say there's probably a greater understanding of an us mentality as a church and a we together than there ever has been. We are in this together, church. And so we commit to love each other. That means that we got to give grace to each other. Listen, that means there's going to be some days that you're going to have it all together, and there's going to be some days that you're not. But let me tell you this. When you don't have it all together, put your shoes on, put your pants on, and get here. Because that's when you need to be here. Because you need to come and hear the word. Because there's been times that maybe you come in here and you didn't feel like worshiping, but by the end of the last song, your heart has changed because God has spoken to your heart. And we're here to love each other. Listen, we're not here to knock each other down. If there's a brother or sister that's down, you're here to build them up. We're here to love each other. What else do we commit to as part of our church? To serve the Lord and the church family. Let's read it. I will seek to serve my Lord and my church family with the spiritual gifts that God has given me, with a humble and sacrificial attitude, in order to bring God glory and so that my fellow believer will be edified. I think I've hit that one pretty hard already, have I? Do I need to hit it again? God wants us to use our gifts. Romans 12 tells us that we are many members but one body. Not everybody can be a toe. Thank God that we're not all toes. We would look quite weird. But you know what's in, you realize how important the small parts of your body are when they're broken and you can't use them. Hence is why I'm sitting on a stool, because I have a sciatic nerve issue. And you realize, oh, there's something in there. And what I'm saying this to you is, when you're not here and you're not using your gift, the body misses you. And even though you think that your part's not important, I'm telling you, you are very important. It doesn't matter if you're sweeping the floor or if you're preaching a sermon. Every one of us are important to serve the Lord and the church family. What else do we commit to when we say, this is where I want to be a church? I'm going to maintain unity in the church family. Let's read. I have read and understand the First Baptist Church of Lacombe doctrinal statement and agree to not be divisive to its teaching. I also understand the importance of submission to church leadership and will be diligent to preserve unity and peace in the church family by building one another up and not by gossiping. I want to just brag on God here that there's a great sense of unity in our church. But as long as there is unity and we're moving forward, Satan is not going to be happy with that, okay? And so he wants to bring division. So if there's any ever a problem in your mind or heart, don't go talk about it with a bunch of people. Come to the leadership and let's deal with it so that we can keep unity and peace within the church, because disunity and disharmony will kill the mission of the church. You may have misunderstood something, maybe interpreted something wrong. Let's make sure that we keep unity in the church for the sake and the glory of God. What else do we do when we commit to be a part of this church? Support the ministry. Let's read it. I will strive to properly manage the resources God has given me, both in finances and possessions. This includes giving a tithe as a minimum goal in a cheerful and voluntary manner. So as a church, we say, hey, if I'm coming here, it's not just our bodies, but also we're giving our resources as well for the sake of the glory of God. So let me just challenge each of you. It's a faith matter every time that you give, to be able to trust that God's going to provide for you. But listen, if we want this church to move forward, and if we want to build that church on 434, we all have to give. The mission goes forth based upon resources, and for us to bless missionaries who are serving throughout our Southern Baptist Convention. So let me just encourage you. Again, I don't know what anybody gives, but I want to encourage you with this. Whatever you have, God has blessed you with it. And his blessings are to be given back to the Lord. And so let's make sure that we're faithful in our giving so the church can move forward in mission. We also commit to do this. We also commit to accountability both to and from the church family. Read it with me. I covenant to be accountable to and hold accountable my church family and follow the biblical procedures of church discipline regarding my brothers and sisters in Christ, and submit myself to church discipline if the need should ever arise. What that means is this, and you hear me say this every time someone joins our church and I present them. I say this to you. We're accountable to you, and you're accountable to us. Folks, what that means is this. When you become part of this church, it means we care about you. You are not just a number in some pool. We want to see you grow in your walk with Christ. And you're saying, hey, I need you. So when you come to this church, you say, I want to be a part of our church, as our membership class is going through that right now. What they're saying is, I want to be a part of this, but I need you to help me walk in Christ. Because let's just be honest, has there been moments in your life where you've been weak and you've not walked like you needed to? And so a church family is someone that hopefully you're building relationships with, that you can be honest with. Now, I understand you're not going to have a deep level of relationships with every person within the church body. But there should be some people, three or four people that you're deep with, that you should be able to call up. If you're struggling and you're weak, that you should be able to say, I need prayer for this. And those individuals on the other side of that phone call, that conversation, should not be beating you up, but rather be there to help you get through that struggle. Folks, that's what church is. So let me encourage you, take off the mask. And let's be real with each other. And let's hold each other accountable. Romans 15. Turn there with me. I want us to read this passage. There's probably been times in all of our walks with the Lord that we felt like nothing could come against us. You ever felt like that before? You felt, man, I'm on a high and I'm good and I'm strong and nothing's going to bring me down. Crash! And we feel like that we were not as strong as we were. Romans 15:1. Those in our membership class are getting a double dose. They've heard a lot of this week already. Romans 15:1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Guess what God is calling us to do? It's not an option. It's an obligation. There's a realization that we say, my job is to help those who are weak. So don't turn your head and close your eyes and expect someone else to help a weak brother or sister that you know that's struggling. It's your obligation. And don't please yourself. Pleasing ourselves is, well, that's just going to take too much of my time. I don't want to get involved in all that. Put yourself in that shoe. If you're struggling, you need somebody to pull you out of that pit. So church, that's what it means. So if you're saying, man, this doesn't sound like church at all, that's the church. Let me introduce you to what the church is supposed to be. The church is not about a place where everybody comes here and we got it all together. We acted like that for years. And listen, that's not pleasing to the Lord. He knows our hearts before we even get here. May God grow us to love each other in this way, that we can give grace. So if someone comes to you and confesses some kind of sin, your job is not to beat them up or beat them down or degrade them. Your job is to help them get out of that spot. The last thing that we commit to is this, to God's Word. Or study God's Word individually and corporately. Let's read it. I will endeavor to maintain a close relationship with the Lord Jesus through regular personal Bible reading, prayer, fellowship, and practice of the other spurts. I will also aim to be a part of a small group Bible study at First Baptist Church of Lacombe. So if you want to accomplish the things that I just mentioned, it's hard to accomplish life together when you just pop in on Sunday morning worship service and leave. But when you're in a Bible study and you're meeting people and you're sitting across the table, relationships take time. Koinonia and getting honest with someone is going to take time. It's not going to happen just by shaking a greeter's hand on Sunday morning and leaving. But it will happen if you sit in that class and you get to know those people. They get to know your families and they get to know your struggles. And pretty soon it's going to take some courage from you to be able to be honest with people. It doesn't mean you have to spill your guts with every person. But there should be somebody in your life that you could do that with. And if you don't have that, that's my prayer for you. Because you need it. If you think you've got it all together, Satan has one up on you. No one in this room, including myself, has it all together. That's why on Wednesdays we have staff meeting. We're gut honest with each other. I tell guys when they come here to work here, if you can't be transparent, you won't feel comfortable working here. Because I realize that I need godly men in my life to help me stay focused in Jesus Christ. And it's good that I can be honest with some guys and say, hey, I'm struggling with this, need you to pray for this in my life. Folks, that's what we're here for. And if we do that, and we're declaring the glory of God to people, and you talk to people, and they say, well, that's the church made up of perfect people, you can say, look at me, I'm not perfect. You can say, come here because we're going to love you through what you've got. And we're going to introduce you to a God who can change your life. Church, I want us this year to keep moving forward. Yeah, God did great things in 2015, but let's not just revel in the past. Let's thank Him. And let's be like He said in Psalm 105, verse 4. Let's continually ask God to do above and beyond what we can ever ask or think. What would our church look like if every one of you, just you, if every one of you were doing your part, you know what it looked like? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. If you're in Romans, just go over to the right just a little bit. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Paul says he gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So guess who's supposed to be serving? Everybody. The body of Christ. The leadership equips you, empowers you. And you say, well, that means you don't have anything to do. Let me tell you something. I've been here 11 years and I always got something to do. So when I equip somebody and I empower them, that just means I get to equip and empower somebody else. And we just keep going on until the church just continues to get all those plates spinning. And then I'm not spinning all those plates and everybody's using their giftedness. But notice the results. If everybody does it, skip down to verse 15. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part, what part?
Each.
What part?
Each.
When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. If you don't have that marked in your Bible, mark it. When we are all doing our part, God said He's going to make the church grow. So here's my challenge to you. The first and foremost thing that you need to do before you know where to serve within the church, grow in your walk with God, spend time with Him in your word, in His word, and He will begin to show you where you need to plug in. But find a place, plug in. So what we're going to do next week is we're going to have a list of different areas where you can serve. So you can have it in front of you and you say, okay, God, where is the place that I can use my gift? And if you look at that list next week and you say, there's nothing on here that I'm passionate about, you come see me. and tell me what you're passionate about, and we see if it lines up with the mission. And if you say, Pastor, I think it's a good idea for you, and I'm going to say, wrong. How about for you? Listen, God wants us moving forward. And I want to see this church moving forward. And God is building it up in love. Because many of you are serving. And I thank God for each of you. So what do you want for 2016? Do you want Him to keep growing the church? That was weak. Do you want to see Him grow the church?
Yes.
Do you want to see Him redeem souls?
Yes.
Do you want to see people discipled in the faith?
Yes.
Do you want to see people who are delighting in God above all things?
Yes.
Then let's pray and work to that end. Let's pray. God, we thank You for today. We want to brag upon You because You're good. And Lord, it is my heart's desire that if there is anyone in this room today who's delighting in other things besides You, that they would bow today to You. That they would know that You are the only one that can satisfy. That You are the only God who will fill them with joy and hope and purpose. Father, You have been great to us in 2015, far better than we deserve. Lord, we are thankful for the growth in our small groups and growth in our children's ministry and growth in our compassion ministry, growth in our numerical financial blessings and growth in our worship services. God, You've just been good to us. And so we want to bless Your name. But Father, as we look forward, we don't want to be sluggards. We don't want to just sit back on past experiences or past blessings. We want to keep asking You, as Psalm 105 says. So Lord, right now I voice it for our church. God, continue to use this church. Pour out Your favor upon us, O God. Bless us with Your Spirit and invigorate us in 2016, unlike we have been used before. Keep us unified. Help us to love each other. Help us to serve with our gifts that You've given us. Help us to give sacrificially and financially for the sake of the mission of the church. God, we long to declare Your glory to Lacombe and the North Shore as far as You want us to reach. So Lord, I'm asking You that You would expand our reach this year. Expand our influence this year in 2016. Lord, we want to see people rescued. We want to see them redeemed, God. Rescued from the pits of hell. Rescued from addictions. Rescued from religious trappings. Rescued from atheism. Oh God, I beg You, pour out Your grace upon us. Help us to see a harvest of people come through our compassion ministry. People who have come and gotten food, come in and gotten clothes. God, this year, will You open up their eyes? Open up their eyes to see they need more than food and clothing. Help them to see they need God to change their lives. So God, I pray for an invigoration of our workers in the compassion ministry. Fill them with Your Holy Spirit. Give them an amazing amount of discernment as they interact with people. God, give them boldness through their lips to speak and proclaim the gospel. And God, may You grant favor. And may the truth of 1 Corinthians 3:7 come to fruition. We've sown the gospel. We've watered the gospel. And we've watered the seed. And God, we're asking You to bring the harvest this year. Bring it, Lord, for Your sake and for Your glory. And so, God, I pray for Christians who are in this room this morning who's lost sight of purpose, who's lost sight of the reason why they're here. May today light a fire in them that You've been faithful, not just to us, but to them. And that You're calling them deeper to You, to be used for the glory of God. So God, use us this year. Take these lives, take these bones, take these skins, take this heart that we have. And God, may You use us to declare Your glory to the North Shore. Lord, if there are people in this room whose hearts are heavy and that are burdened, that are here today and they need You, oh God, meet us where we are. Minister to our hearts today. In the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we stand And as we sing, church, we sing to Him. He is our shield. He is our hope. Let's stand together and let's respond to what God has called us to do. If He's placing upon your heart to make some commitments for 2016, make it. Don't wait. Do it now. Respond your heart. But let's sing as a prayer to the Lord. If you need prayer, you come. I will be here and Jerry will be here. We'll pray with you. But let's speak to God and let's answer to God what He's placed upon our heart this morning. You come and be obedient to Him.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.